From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. On the National Mall in Washington, D.C. today, a blessing of the ground, of the people present, of the entire population. It came courtesy of the San Carlos Apache of San Carlos, Arizona. Some of the San Carlos Apache crown dancers, their faces completely covered by traditional hoods, their crowns suggesting the antlers of mountain spirits, were never off the reservation until this trip to Washington. They came for a gathering unlike any other the nation's capital has ever witnessed. Some 20,000 Native Americans gathered on the Mall, to the west the Washington Monument, to the east the U.S. Capitol building. They came to celebrate the opening of the National Museum of the American Indian. Many came from New England and the Pacific Northwest, some from the Gulf Coast and the Canadian North. A few came from the Andes. Harlan Bearhand is from the Gila River Indian Reservation. He informs us proudly that his people own three casinos. A group of them have come all the way from southern Arizona.
I think there's about maybe 30 of us that came over here and to celebrate this great event, and I'm waiting to see the museum, but boy, the crowd here, I don't know if I'll be able to get in here. I'm only here for a couple of days, but it's just fantastic to see so many people here, so many of my, you know, it makes the heart feel good, makes the heart feel really, really good.
People from all over, not just Arizona.
Alaska, Peru, South America, Hawaii, all over the United States, from New York to California, Florida to Washington, Alaska. They're all here. They're all here enjoying themselves. They're dancing for each other. Indians taking pictures of Indians, which is quite a change.
For those who can't see us, who are only listening on the radio, I want you to describe a bit of what you've worn.
Well, today I'm wearing, this is my eagle fan. It's a traditional eagle fan. It's a blessing from the birds. These carry our prayers to heaven, and that's why we worship the eagle. And not really worship him, but he's a messenger from earth to the spirit, the spirit world. And then my breastplate, of course, is just a armor that we have from a long time ago. And the buckskin shirt, of course, is just a shirt.
Now, what do you do back home in Arizona?
Back home, well, aside from riding horses and branding cattle and so forth, and just like my occupation is a heavy equipment operator, and we build America. But I just wanted to be here. I came here a year ago. My son came here. He's in law school at the Catholic Law School here in Washington.
My name is Jeff Bearhand.
So this hasn't been a trek across the country for you to come here today.
No, actually, I came out about a year ago. And actually, 2 years ago on an internship, loved it, came back, and now I'm living here full time.
And tell me about this event and what it means to you.
It's very heartwarming, actually, to see this many Indian people here on the Mall. Historically, there's always been the hardship versus the federal government. So the ability to come back and to be a part of something historic like this, the opening of a national museum honoring the American Indians, it's a wonderful feeling.
Before today's formal opening of the museum, there was a procession down the Mall, and it was a display of stunning diversity. Tribe by tribe, band by band, nation by nation, the groups paraded seven abreast down the Mall. Eastern Pequots from Connecticut, the Shinnecock from Long Island, the Kiowa tribe of Oklahoma, the Makah from Washington State. Many were in tribal regalia. Some, who were in the service, marched in fatigues or dress uniforms. Many wore jeans and T-shirts or wore baseball caps to declare that they are Vietnam veterans. And at least one marcher wore a kilt. A procession of American Indians is a procession of every color and complexion Americans come in. From Choctaw, Mississippi, the Maroon Band of Choctaw Central High School performed as they might during a football halftime show. And immediately behind them, as the tubas passed by, came the Pala Band of Mission Indians from north of San Diego, making more traditional music. Hey, 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 hey. And right after the Pala Band came the French-speaking Métis Nation of Manitoba, Canada.
My name is Jules Chartrand. I'm from Saint-Laurent in Manitoba. I'm with the Métis Nation group here. We're represented in the museum, in the Our Lives section of the museum. And we're hoping you're going to send lots of tourists to our little town, because we're trying to get an interpretive center built there, eh? We already have lots of journalists coming from France.
The Métis Nation sent their Bombardier ice fishing vessel here for the museum.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, a lot of the people that have stayed in the community, some still do fishing, eh? I did it to help my dad when I was a kid, but the majority of young people that go through high school and on university, they're dispersed all over Canada because they're small communities, there's not too much industry, there's not too much work there. So we're hoping that that'll change in the next few years. Eh?
And you think this might stimulate some American tourism up north too?
Oh yeah, Americans and Europeans, especially Europeans from France, because we're Francophone, we speak French, eh? So we're hoping to get a lot of Europeans coming.
From South America came traditional Peruvian musicians and dancers. One fiddles, another plays a handheld indigenous harp with a soundbox the size of a conga drum. Two men dance and turn scissor blades into musical instruments. The National Museum of the American Indian, the museum that was formally opened today, was built on the last open space bordering the mall, which is ringed by the museums and galleries of the Smithsonian Institution, celebrating everything from Asian art to space exploration. This building is different. The museum director, W. Richard West, gave us a tour a couple of weeks ago, as workmen were still putting the finishing touches on it. Mr. West is an Oklahoman, a member of the Arapaho tribe, and a peace chief of the Southern Cheyenne. He is Stanford and Harvard educated, and describes himself as a recovering lawyer. The museum building was landscaped to restore a touch of nature around it. You enter from a plaza that faces the east and the Capitol building, but just off the plaza is a lily pad pond, a small wetlands that hints at what the mall was before European settlement.
The purpose of the area outside of the building, the non-built environment, is to introduce people to what this site really was like when it was native territory. This was a wetlands, of course. And so at the east end of the building, we have a wetlands.
But this lily pond pad, which is part of the wetland, was created, was restored? What do we say?
Restored, I suppose, is the more apt word, because this is sort of ecological reparations, if you will, taking it back to what it was to try to establish the link between Native America and what it was when this was Native America.
From the wetlands, a plaza, we turn around and we see this very imposing, and for the National Mall, extremely unusual building.
Yes, that's true. Our design aesthetics, as you might understand, are taken from nature. In nature, there are virtually nothing but curves. There are very few straight lines in nature. And so we have a highly organic and curvilinear building, almost as though it were a huge block of stone that sat here since time immemorial and ended up being carved by wind and water rather than being built by man and dropped down on this spot.
Shall we walk into that building?
Sure. Well, here we're standing in the area that's called the Potomac in the museum, and this area to me is particularly full and rich with symbolism. It also connects the earth, the floor, with the five-story, and that's five museum stories, about 12 commercial stories, atrium. It goes up to a dome space and an oculus that sits at the top.
Oculus,
yes.
It's
a hole of light.
It's
oculus.
The pantheon.
It is. Well, this is like the pantheon has an oculus.
Will people here have the same effect they would find at the pantheon in Rome of the sun traveling through this space?
Oh, indeed they will. And in fact, I would even point out more specifically, if you looked behind us over here, you'll see in the south wall of the building a slit where actual natural light comes through, and those are crystalline structures which actually will chart the changing and cycle of the seasons on this wall over here. Okay, why don't we wander into this exhibition?
Was the wealth of casino gambling, was that necessary for this museum to happen?
Well, you're not too far from the truth. The fact is that Native communities contributed upwards of $35 million. Three tribes alone, the Mashantucket Pequots in Connecticut, the Mohegan Indian Nation in Connecticut, the Oneida Indian Nation of New York, each contributed gifts of $10 million to the National Museum of the American Indian. So they constituted $30 million of that. And the fact is, I think Indian tribes and communities should take great pride, and the nation should take great pride in the fact that Native communities stepped forward in this amount when they had the ability to do it to support a national cultural institution.
How do you address the question, to what extent should a walk through the exhibit be a walk through one trail of tears after another, a lachrymose story of the history of Native peoples?
Well, unfortunately, at least parts of the history of the stories of Native peoples is rather lachrymose, and we don't expect to dodge that, and we won't. One of the exhibitions here, Our Peoples, is primarily about some of those histories that came out of an encounter with people who came from elsewhere. At the same time, one of the other exhibitions, Our Universes, is far less about that contemporary kind of ethnographic Indian experience encountering others than it is about those beliefs and value systems that through the millennia have driven us. So what I aspire to here at the National Museum of the American Indian is to be sure that we are not viewed only in terms of what I call the Indian Holocaust, and it was that. But I do not want that story to be the totality of what we represent to our visitors, because the fact is the entire cultural experience of Native peoples goes over a period of almost 20,000 years in this hemisphere. So why would you limit it to 5% of that time period? I want somebody who leaves here to know not only what we need to know about the downside of the encounter, the shadow lands of American history, as I call it, but I want them to know that there was tremendously powerful, rich, worthy cultural experience that preceded that, and there is a persistence to survive culturally that succeeds it.
W. Richard West, director of the National Museum of the American Indian, which formally opened today on the National Mall. You can see photos of the museum and the opening ceremony at our website, npr.org.